Good morning, Prayer Warriors. Mark here. Hey, so glad to be back with you. And today's a little bit of fun. And, you know, God kind of puts humor in our hearts. He wants us to laugh and to have fun. He wants to sing and just he really wants us to pray. So let's just go to him in prayer just for a couple of seconds before we open up. And dear Lord, we just give thanks. Just lift us up. Just give us that humor. Fill our hearts with fun, with joy, happiness, and peace. Just as you have done in the lives of so many before us. Thank you, Lord, for all you do this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, hey, today I want to talk about an amazing prayer warrior. You may or may not have heard about him. And you know, he was a dirtball. This guy was a scumbag. And, you know, and I don't say that, you know, and it's kind of a little bit in jest, but he really was. He was off the deep end. And it was almost like he belonged to a mafia group. Very, you know, ritualistic, very, you know, I guess you could call it legalistic. And he was born into this family. And, you know, there were birthrights that went on. You know, as soon as he's born, his dad was a leader in this group. So he's being raised in this group. And you know, and then the leaders in this, you know, kind of organization, you know, he's teaching, he's studying under these guys. There's hate and there's anger. And you know, really, from our perspective as Christian men and women, as prayer warriors, you know, it's kind of like, okay, there's huge opportunities for a guy like this, isn't there? And we've had him in our families, and you know, we've probably had friends and other people we've known that have just been something like this. And in fact, you know, he follows all the rules for this group. And it's almost like, you know, Hell's Angels or, you know, other gangs or cults. I kind of like the mafia kind of thing. And he was a fanatic. And in fact, he went out of his way to harass other groups, the opposition. He wanted to harass him, and you know, at one point, you know, he was standing around, and it's very well documented, you know, they're killing this guy, and he's watching. You know, he's just bloodthirsty, and they're watching, and he's part of this. And in fact, he had the task to go out and kill the opposition, and that's when Jesus Christ got a hold of him and flung his sorry, you know, soul to the ground, and he accepted Christ. And you all know those famous words, "Saul, Saul, why are you forsaking me?" And so Paul, the apostle, that's his life. And that's a life that we can see every day that can be saved, that comes from a background like that. And then I want to share that Paul, you know, he spent 3 years up north in Damascus, and that was on the road to Damascus that Christ saved him, that confronted him, and he turned his life over to Christ, and he spent those next 3 years up in Damascus, and then he spent more time down south in the desert. And he became one of those ultimate prayer warriors. And we can kind of model our lives after that. We can kind of study the life of Paul. And there's those around us who can study the life of Paul, because so many say, I can't be forgiven for the things that I've done. And here we have it documented. We look at the life of Paul. Yeah, you can. You can turn your life over to Christ. You can be forgiven. And you can become a prayer warrior. And I just want to say, you know, share some of these amazing prayers that Paul offers up to you know, in some of those epistles. You know, he wrote his seven epistles, and there's 27 books in the New Testament, and he's attributed probably 13 or 14 of them. And we know for a fact that seven epistles, you know, are directly letters from him. And I just want to share a couple of those verses. You know, if you take a look at Ephesians 1:8, you know, he was very key in the founding of that church in Ephesus and imparting and imputing doctrine with them. And he writes to them when he, about 90 AD, he's probably, you know, getting up there in the years, and he writes to them, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you know the hope which he, God, has called you." So that's Ephesians 1:18. How about Ephesians 6:18? Continue in that scroll. He was probably writing that long thing until it was, you know, divvied up into chapters. Ephesians 6:18. "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." So praying at all times. He's just absolutely, he has become this prayer warrior in his life after he's turned his life over to Christ at a younger age. How about when he's writing not just to his church at Ephesus, but Thessalonica? There in 2 Thessalonians 1:11. "To this end, we always pray for you." So this is in the opening, his second letter going up to the Thessalonians in the first chapter. "To this end, we always pray for you." Are you always praying? Are you praying for somebody else? And he says, "To this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power." And it's just that power of prayer that he's looking for, and he's going for it. Philippians, you know, this is back a little ways, probably about 62 A.D. He's writing to the church there in Philippi, and he writes, "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." That's the root of our prayer. That's a perfect thing. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And then he's writing to this disciple of his, this young pastor. Every pastor needs to have a Timothy in his life. Us as men need to mentor the younger. Us, you know, women need to have somebody they can mentor as well. And he's writing to 1 Timothy. He's writing to Timothy in the 1 Timothy, the first letter he sent to him in 2:8. He says, "I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling." Wow, is that amazing? And then his next one there in chapter 2, still in 1 Timothy, that letter, the heartfelt letter, he's writing to Timothy. He says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." So he's just loving on Timothy. He's given him that guidance. He's given him that wisdom. And now we kind of go back to before Paul was a Christian. He was looking to murder Christians. He watched as Stephen was stoned to death, as Stephen called out to God and said, "Bring me home." And that's what Paul did throughout the rest of his life after on that road to Damascus. Do you know somebody on that road to Damascus? Pray for them. Pray for them today. Pray without ceasing. Thank you, brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, all you prayer warriors. Keep those prayers coming.